This sermon was recorded at Church of the Ascension, an Anglican parish in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, whose mission is to be a worshiping community that equips God's people and shares Christ's healing with a broken world. For more information, please visit ascensionpittsburgh.org.
Pray with me. Create and make in us new and contrite hearts, O Lord, that we may obtain your grace. Amen. Be seated. What should I be feeling on Ash Wednesday? This is a question I had as a new Anglican. Maybe it's a question you have. Maybe you've been through 40 plus Ash Wednesday services in your lifetime, and you've felt something a little different every time. Throughout this service, we have already and will continue to hear and speak words of penitence and sorrow. We will, later on in the litany of penitence, name and repent of specific ways we have sinned against God and our neighbors in real times and in real places. This service feels in many ways like one long confession. And to what end? Especially if you are new to church or new to Anglican worship, you might wonder, why? Is the point of Ash Wednesday to remind us of what a terrible job we're all doing as Christians? My first Ash Wednesday, I think I imagined the spirit of the day to be that it would drag me down to the depths, as it were, you know, really show me the ways that my life is in disarray and send me off into the 40 days of Lent to go and get my spiritual house in order. Kind of like a crash diet for my soul, right? 40 days to get things in working order so that we can be ready for Easter. And I wonder if I'm not alone in thinking like this. It's not uncommon for us to speak about Lent as a concentrated time of spiritual repair, recovery, rehabilitation. And actually, it is for those things. But we might wrongly interpret the sobriety of Lent to mean that it's time for us to get down on our hands and knees and really scrub the floors and clean up the cobwebs and get our prayer life and our social media habits in working order back into a presentable state because Jesus is coming over soon. Right? And all of this is launched by Ash Wednesday, here tonight, this day where we really lay it on thick, don't we? Guilt is an effective motivator, right? Well, those of us who have done Ash Wednesday and Lent this way can probably all attest that guilt is not actually a great motivator. It may give us enough momentum to throw away sugary treats or delete time-wasting apps from our phones, but it won't carry us all the way through Lent. It can't. Guilt might serve to swiffer off a few cobwebs, but it can't open the windows and let the fresh air in. We need something more for that. So what should I be feeling on Ash Wednesday? There are lots of ways we could answer that question, different angles from which we could engage with this important day in our liturgical year. Last year, Father Kevin showed us how Ash Wednesday is a memento mori, a sobering reminder that we will die. We are not invincible. We are, each of us, mere mortals. We all need to face this reality. From dust we have come, and to dust we will return. That is true of all of us. And we receive this reminder inscribed on our foreheads in ashes. That's one thing we ought to feel, sobered and aware of our mortality, the truth that our life is but a breath. Another emphasis of this day could come from our scripture readings, which challenge us to consider how we ought and ought not to engage in spiritual disciplines. In Isaiah and Matthew, we heard about fasting and prayer and monetary generosity and justice. We ought to feel challenged in a good way as we ponder how we might answer the invitation to these difficult but sanctifying practices. And then there's this whole theme of penitence, contrition, repentance, the litany we will pray, naming the ways that we have sinned, calling upon God to have mercy on us. There is an acute sorrow that we feel on Ash Wednesday. Yet embedded in all of these ideas is great hope, even as we receive ashes on our foreheads, reminding us of our mortality. We receive them in the sign of a cross. Our life is but a breath. Our death is inevitable. And the life we do live is in Jesus Christ. We are dust, and our Lord redeems even dust. We are dust, and our Lord breathes life into dust. We are dust, and our Lord has come to save, to rescue dust. All of these things coalesce to bring out what is, I believe, the great power and gift of Ash Wednesday. Whatever theme that we choose to emphasize, today is a day to tell the truth. This is, of course, not to imply that we don't tell the truth other times. But today we have a unique opportunity to look inward, to look around us, and to name things as they actually are. We will die. Our life is but a breath, a short breath, and yet in that breath we have committed sin against God and against our neighbor. My desires and habits are in disarray. I have withheld forgiveness and closed my hand toward those in need. I see that clearly now, today. Sometimes it takes ash getting ground into the skin of my forehead for that to make its way through to me. Ash Wednesday is a day to tell the truth. Lent is a season to tell the truth. Not to wallow in guilt or self-loathing, but a chance to look intently and not hide from what is brought to light. Josh and I have recently begun a new Sabbath routine of taking hikes in North Park on Fridays while our kids are in school. It's a new practice for us since the new year, and while we've hiked in the woods dozens, if not hundreds of times together, it's typically been in the warmer months. Hiking in the dead of winter has offered a unique perspective. Winter, we've realized, extends an opportunity to see things clearly. As we've hiked through the woods throughout the month of January and so far in February, into the valleys and over the hills of North Park, we've noticed how we can see straight through a forest that's normally thick with leafy branches and brush. Because those trees are now bare, we can see through them all the way to the rooftops on the next hillside, or, oh my gosh, I can see all the way down to where we parked the car. It's a unique time where things that are normally hidden from sight are laid bare. That is, it seems to me, the truth-telling power of Ash Wednesday and of Lent. It's a time to see things truly as they are, to strip back the clutter and habits, the brush that normally fill up our attention and vision. And it's not a bad thing that there are habits and clutter that fill up our attention and vision. That's what life is. The practice of fasting is, on the whole, meant to be giving up good things. Food is good for you. Treats are satisfying. Movies are fun to watch. These are routines and things that satisfy us, that bring us joy. A forest that is thick with leaves and brush is not wrong. But it's good to have things cleared away sometimes, too. Lent is a journey through the wilderness, not a punishment for our sin or a temporary banishment until we can learn to do better, but an opportunity for our wants, our habits, our desires to be laid bare, seen clearly, and reoriented where necessary. We need to tell the truth today. We need to tell the truth over the next 40 days. the traditional Lenten disciplines the church has practiced for many years, based in passages like Isaiah and Matthew, are fasting, prayer, and generous giving. These are truth-telling disciplines. As we practice these, much truth is indeed revealed. The kind of character we display when we are hungry or have foregone the routine gratifications of our appetites. The realization when we sit down to pray just how long it's been since the last time we did this. Our response to the invitation to go above and beyond in giving to the poor tells the truth about our relationship with money. In the wilderness of Lent, when the trees are laid bare, the truth is disclosed. Some of you have just begun the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius, which is a 10-week journey of prayer, which is guided by some of the incredible spiritual directors we have in our midst here at Ascension. I got to experience these exercises as a member of last year's cohort. So we began last year, I think, in February. And I got to share some really beautifully vulnerable and intimate time with my fellow group members that I won't soon forget. And like those of you who are doing it now, we started just around the beginning of Lent. And I have not historically been consistent in setting aside time to pray, and the Ignatian exercises are very regimented, a minimum of 30 minutes, ideally an hour every day. So I thought, this is perfect. It's Lent, this will give me a reason to finally make time, I'll get this down. And I don't think that I actually was arrogant going into it, but I was certainly determined. I'm a priest, for goodness sakes, I need to get my prayer life in order. So this is my chance to dive in and prove to myself that I can do it. To be honest, I found the daily prayer discipline over those next few months to be one of the hardest things I have ever tried to do. You might not believe me because I'm a priest, but I found myself doing everything in my power to avoid prayer. Not purposely or consciously even, but the end of each day would come and I had not made time to pray. And sure, I have a packed schedule. I have a family of little kids, tons of unfinished chores. Who even has the time for 30 minutes, let alone an hour, right? But that really wasn't it, and I knew that. The truth is, for me, sitting down with a cup of tea and my journaling prompts felt like it would take more effort than it would to run a marathon. Most days, I just wouldn't do it. I was shocked. I was deeply embarrassed. I had to confess as a priest in my small group made up of people in the congregation that I serve that I had only completed 1 or 2 or 3 days out of the 7 that were assigned, even on the first week. Why couldn't I pray? Why wouldn't I pray? The invitation was there, even the structure was provided. Yet the resistance inside me was so palpable, and I found myself wrestling with it throughout Lent and beyond. Why am I so uncomfortable being still with God? And I'm sharing this story now because I've realized that this is the power of Lent. It's a journey through a wilderness, a hike through the woods in winter that invites you to see things clearly. If it weren't for that Ignatian prayer exercise, I might not have ever come face to face with my avoidance of prayer. It was so humbling, but it gave me an opportunity to tell the truth. And I've been able to encounter the Lord afresh in that truth-telling. It has truly been a hinge point in how I engage with the Lord in prayer. Over Lent, we embark both together and personally on a wilderness journey. The disciplines you might want to engage in are up to you. If there's one you've never really tried before, I encourage you to try it. The adventure of Lent is that we can't predict ahead of time what the Lord might do with us as we make this journey. Mother Andrea made me do the Ignatian exercises. I had no idea. I had no idea what the Lord was going to do with me in it. So as we come into this season together, the question maybe shouldn't be, what am I going to give up for Lent? But rather, what might the Lord be inviting me into? When comforts or habits are stripped away, pared down, what reveals itself? What can you glimpse through the barren trees that is normally hidden from view? Whatever disciplines you choose to commit yourself to, whatever habits you disrupt or comforts you abstain from, I hope and pray that the next 40 days are an opportunity for you to tell the truth. Let us have an honest Ash Wednesday and an honest Lent. Our lives, our very selves, laid bare before the Lord. It begins today. It begins with this truth being marked on our very bodies as we receive the imposition of ashes. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. We start together today with that difficult dose of truth. But let's be sure that as we tell the truth, we tell the whole truth. Easter will come. Death is swallowed up in victory. Resurrection has the final word. This is a truth we cannot earn by our Lenten disciplines. I certainly didn't earn it last year with my attempt at the Ignatian exercises. This truth is given to us as a sheer gift. In a few moments, we will receive that truth written on our foreheads. So let us look honestly at our mortality, at our brokenness, and let us also look upon Jesus Christ, who has borne it all away and given us life. Amen.